Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Scripture this morning is Luke 1, 26 through 39. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Mary visits Elizabeth. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So let's play the $100,000 pyramid for the jackpot. Getting my driver's license. Graduation day. My first date with Gail. My wedding weekend. Anybody, y'all play? Are y'all playing or are you just waiting? Birth of my babies. Birth of my grandbabies. Joy. Things that bring you joy. $100,000 over here. And I have a fruit roll up that'll be expected. You know. There's always a catch when a Baptist preacher's involved. You know that. Things that bring you joy, 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 joy to the world. My grandchildren in Nashville are singing in the Christmas pageant today at the church, and they're singing Joy to the World. And I asked my daughter, the angel version or the Jeremiah version? And she didn't know what I meant. So I had to sing Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog for her. Joy to the world. So there's an earworm for you. You're welcome. This time of year, we were at the Hollinshed farm, or my grandmother's backyard, to pick up pecans. You call them pecans because you're overly sophisticated up here in North Carolina, but in Georgia, they're pecans, and they were everywhere, and we picked them up off the ground so that we could sell them and get money to buy Christmas presents. And we soon discovered as young boys that our pecan money didn't go very far, and so my mother suggested making things for people we cared about. So we found out you could get like 500,000 loom loops and make potholders. And so we did that for years and years and years. And it was horrible when you got to the bottom of the bag because there was only black ones left. And nobody wants that. So we just fought over them and fought with them as brothers do. But it was nothing like the joy of seeing those potholders on my grandmother's kitchen table when she served us lunch. Joy. The overwhelming feeling of happiness that stops time for a moment. The overwhelming feeling of happiness that stops time for a moment. Now, all those things I mentioned to you about joy also are fraught with fear. I was so excited to get my driver's license, and I was scared to death that first trip by myself in the car. I was so excited to graduate, but then there was college. I was so excited to go out with Gail that first night, but Lord have mercy, I was scared to death. Overwhelming joy, but at the same time, a little bit of this thing right here. You ever get that thing right there? Mary was just minding her own business, and the angel of the Lord came and said, "Hail, favored one." That's got to bring a little fear into your heart in that moment. Mary was obedient and Mary was filled with joy, but Mary was also filled with fear. Mary, did you know? Christian's going to sing that next week, but I'm going to talk about it today so you'll be ready for it next week. Mary, did you know? Of course she didn't know. Of course she didn't know. She was obedient. She listened to the Spirit of God and was obedient, and I think scared to death at the same time. We've romanticized Mary so much through the years. We've lifted Mary up so high through the years that oftentimes we can't really see the truth of Mary. You know she had questions. How can this be? She says in the passage that Carl read for us just a moment ago. How can this be? So here are the facts. The angel greets Mary, calling her favored. He describes a divine plan for a miraculous conception of a baby boy. We don't hear Mary saying, "Why are you telling me this?" We don't hear Mary saying, "Why are you calling me favored one?" We don't hear Mary saying, "You're messing with me." But I think she must have had that going on inside of her. Mary expresses doubt and a little bit of fear, then joy. But she had to wrestle with that a bit. Because Mary opened herself up to scandal. Even death. For a 14-year-old girl to become great with child, and the best she could come up with was the Holy Spirit, she could have been put to death for that. Where's the joy in that? She may have been favored by God, but not by her culture. She had to go stay with her cousin because the family didn't really want her hanging around. When Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem and she is great with child, Joseph is among family. But he couldn't ask any of his family members if they could spend the night because of the scandal that was already upon them. Where's the joy in that? What often feels like suffering or depression or uselessness, when we often think that God has withdrawn from us, perhaps these are deep opportunities to trust God more and grow closer to the intimacy of God. So says Richard Rohr. Mary, did you know? Well, Gail and I didn't understand birthing babies when we were 23. And we knew everything about everything at 23. But we didn't understand birthing babies. Gail thought she had the flu. I do have to tell you, we planned both of our children. As soon as we knew they were coming, we started planning for them. Which is what I think Mary did. And Joseph, Lord have mercy, Joseph gets lost in all the rush. Mary's yes required sacrifice and courage. Where is the joy in that? Mary, you're going to have a baby. The Holy Spirit is going to cover you. That would scare me to death. And I think it did her. How's this going to happen? She said. With God, nothing is impossible, the angel said. And Mary's early life with Joseph, filled with fear, having a baby out in the barn. Then, oh yeah, Mary, we got to go to Egypt now. And off to Egypt they go with a newborn while babies were being slaughtered back home. Where's the joy in that? Oh yeah, Mary, we got to go back home now. We're going to Nazareth. It'll be all right. Mary, did you know? Of course she didn't know. If you knew you were going to birth a baby and 30 years later they were going to hang him from a cross, where's the joy in that? But Mary said yes. Mary said yes. God, you see, God doesn't promise us health and wealth and comfort. We expect that from God, but that's not what God gives us. God gives us challenge. And as we live into the challenge, the joy comes from being obedient. The joy comes in the affirmation. Prosser, be not afraid. But Lord, I'm old. That congregation doesn't want to hear anything I have to say. But Lord, I'm tired. But Lord, I've said everything I know to say the first Sunday I was there. Prosser, go. Speak. Mary, did you know? Of course she didn't. But she was obedient. And she said, yes. And then she said, I hope. And then she probably said, please, God. We've said those same kinds of things. We've wrestled with our own demons. Sometimes we even say, I've never felt joy. But that's just the depression wrestling within us. And with each trembling yes that Mary said, the world changed. And it does with us as well. When I was 14, my mother finally let me in on a Christmas secret. Took me a while to understand, you know, part of the Christmas intrigue. And she said, "Now you cannot tell your father. You have to promise." And I said, "Promise? I won't tell. Thank you for letting me in on the secret. What are we getting him?" And she took me to Nash's Men's Store in downtown Milledgeville, the place for men's clothing. It would be my privilege to work there as I got a little older. But as a 14-year-old boy, when I walked in the store, man, it was joy. Pants and coats, a whole wall of shirts. Upstairs, Levi's. It was paradise. And we walked over to the coat rack, and my mother said to my friend Jerry Foster, "We're looking for a sport coat, not just any sport coat, a blue sport coat, and not just any blue sport coat, but a Botany 500 sport coat." And for those of you who don't know what a sport coat is, it's an outer garment that you wear, we used to wear on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. Botany 500 was the Cadillac of sport coats. And we bought that coat, and I had a secret, and I could not wait for Christmas. Christmas Day came. I had held my secret. I was so proud of myself, and I was so excited for my dad. It was going to be the best Christmas ever, regardless of what I got, because I was in on the surprise, and he was about to get the best Christmas present ever. So we opened all our gifts on Christmas. And it was a pretty good Christmas. Can't remember anything I got. But it was a good Christmas. And all the gifts were out. And the sport coat had not appeared. And I'm going, surely she hasn't forgotten. This is the greatest Christmas present ever, surely. And then my mother announced to us, "Oh, by the way, there's one gift left." Oh my gosh, she remembered. I was so excited. I jumped up to go with her, and she said, "No, sit." And I was a little disappointed by that. After all, I'd kept the secret. I wanted to be in on the giving. My mother came back out, and she had a soup bag. She unzipped the soup bag and said to my dad, "This is for you." And as she gave him the soup bag, she turned around with another soup bag and gave it to me. Double-breasted Botany 500 blue sport coat. Joy. Pure joy. Happiness that overwhelms us so that time stands still. In that moment, putting on that coat, oh my goodness, I think I slept in it that night. Amazing. And then that Sunday, when my dad and I together sported our new coats. Joy. Pure joy, overwhelming happiness when time stands still. And even in that moment, there's a little bit of nagging fear. What will you do with that fear? Will you say yes to God and move into the joy, or will you choose to let fear rob you of the moment? God in heaven and God of earth, God of all that is good, God of the challenges of life, thank you for the joyous moments that you have brought into my life. Thank you for the joy of standing in this pulpit. Thank you for the joy of being a part of this congregation. Thank you especially for the joy of Jesus. Happiness that is overwhelming so that time stops for just a moment. We pray in that joy, setting aside our fear through Jesus the Christ. Amen.